Isaiah was right when you prophesied about me, hypocrite. As it's written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. And he says to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban, that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull? He asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Carol, just as we get underway, would you ever pop into the conference room? You go around this side and ask them if they could take a 20-minute break from noisy activities, if that's possible. Thanks very much, Dara. Now, I'm sure you recognise this face. It's Gregory House, played by Hugh Laurie. He's a doctor, but he doesn't get his hands dirty with things like surgery. He leaves that to other people. His job is diagnosis. He works out what the problem is and then leaves it to other people to apply the remedy. The show House MD has been going for about 5 years now. It's been very successful, and I guess it's a medical version of CSI. No doubt most people in this room have watched at least one version of CSI. But the show's creator traces its roots further back to Sherlock Holmes. Creator David Shaw based Dr. House on Sherlock Holmes. Both of them are forensic geniuses, both of them are musicians, both of them are drug users, aloof, and largely friendless. House's only friend is called Dr. James Wilson, a play on Sherlock Holmes' friend Dr. James Watson. Sorry, John Watson. But in House, there's a whole team who take on the role of the ignorant psychic. And even Sherlock Holmes, of course, wasn't the first whodunit. Whodunit stories are ancient. And I think this passage that we've just read is something of a whodunit. It answers the question, where does evil come from? Evil's everywhere. I took a look at yesterday's West Australian and found these three articles. The first was about Charles Zentai. He's now 87, but he's accused of murder. It's alleged that in 1944, he dragged a Jewish youth to his army post, where he and two other soldiers beat the boy to death. The young man's body was then thrown into the Danube River. Next, I read about an RSPCA investigation going on at the moment about two dogs whose bodies were found dumped. One dog had either been shot or stabbed, and it appears that the other dog had been suffocated. The deaths didn't look like they'd been in any way humane. Then when I got to the world section of the paper, the news wasn't much better. Around 500,000 Pakistanis from the Swat region have been forced to flee their homes. The government has been on an offensive against the Taliban in that region. It seems that the Taliban has been mistreating the inhabitants for many years, but now innocent people are getting caught in the crossfire. Where does evil come from? Why do we see it all over the world? Why on any given day will you see it written all over the newspaper? if this passage is something of a whodunit, then it's an important one. If only we could work out where evil comes from, then maybe we'd be able to do something about it. Well, if both House and Sherlock Holmes apply their genius to mysteries, Jesus' genius was unparalleled. If anyone's able to solve this whodunit, then he's the man. Let's look again at that first paragraph where we see our first clue. Let's pick it up from line one. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews don't eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they don't eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" These traditions that the Pharisees and teachers of the law were keeping had started with the best intentions. But in criticizing Jesus' followers for not keeping their rules, they were acting like evil comes from outside. It was like they were saying, if you want to stay pure, if you want to stay acceptable, if you want to escape from evil, then you have to keep these rules. Specifically, you have to wash your hands and wash your plates and wash your cups and wash your kettle a certain way. One of the things I love about House is that in just about every episode, House or one of his team ends up breaking into their client's apartment. They break in to see if something where their patient is living is making them sick. And inevitably, they discover some important clue, like the patient's been eating rat poison for dinner. And it cracks the case wide open, what they find. The Pharisees and teachers of the law were acting like that. Like what is making this world sick comes from outside, as though evil is something that you can inject. There are modern-day equivalents to this idea. Many cultures and religions have food customs, certain foods to eat or certain foods to avoid on certain days or in certain months to remain acceptable to God, to remain pure, to avoid evil, if you like. For other people, it's not a food, but a practice, like attending church, saying certain prayers. For other people, it's a moral code or a philosophical system they follow or some basic rules that we think make us a good person. I'm not evil. I live by a code, we think. Still others argue that we're basically good at heart. They argue that the wrongs people do are the result of external influences. All we need is better education. If people were better informed, then we wouldn't make bad choices. You wouldn't see evil in the news every day. Other people say we're basically good. What we need is better government. If government stopped oppressing their people, if workers were allowed to enjoy the fruits of their labour, then we wouldn't see the evil that's in the world today. Other people say we just need to release people's goodness with better family supports or better architecture or better community programs. If we can do these things, then evil will stop because we're basically good at heart. The causes of evil are external. But this diagnosis is basically superficial. Put a criminal through the best schools, and what do you get? A smarter criminal. If people are inherently selfish, that's going to cause problems in any system. Other people go so far as to say evil isn't real, it's just a societal construct. We label certain behaviours as evil, but that's just because we don't like them. There's nothing inherently evil about the action itself. Evil is just a label imposed from the outside. Jesus says in line 32, "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from outside can make him unclean. For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body. Jesus flushes this idea away, this idea that evil comes from outside. What we eat and drink isn't the problem. The problem's deeper. The problem needs more than just attending church, or it needs more than a moral code. It needs more than better education or better government. It needs more. It's a real, deep problem. And it's a problem that everyone's got. Australians love to point the finger. It's one of our national pastimes. There was a TV presenter that I used to watch. I loved to hate him. I'd turn him on every night and get furious. It was my form of entertainment. But he had a big following, and his catch cry was, shame, shame, shame. His name was Darren Hinch. Pointing the finger is a popular pastime. We're happy to label other people as evil. So please look with me at line 13. He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it's written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You've let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the tradition of men. A hypocrite is someone who says one thing and does another. The Jewish leaders were telling people to obey God's laws, but then they were breaking them themselves. They'd made up their own laws, which they were using as loopholes to avoid God's laws. When we point the finger, we end up pointing three fingers at ourselves. Romans chapter 2, verse 1, was written after Jesus, says this, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you're condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same thing. Most of us have experienced a time when something of ours has been stolen. I can still remember the first time that my house got broken into. I can remember that feeling of outrage that I'd been violated like that. But then again, most of us will have at some stage consciously broken copyright. Those trailers that you watch before your videos are right. Piracy is a theft. Watching that video on YouTube, downloading that song, what we're doing is we're taking someone else's income. When we point the finger at ourselves too. The other day I was driving home and turning right at a set of traffic lights. It was one of those traffic lights where people could go straight ahead, or two lanes in the middle were both turning right at the same time. I had a green arrow to turn right, and so I started. And as I started to turn, one of the cars that was heading straight ahead must have seen the green arrow and somehow got the impression that it was their turn to go. And so they drove out into the intersection. As I beeped on my horn and drove past them, well, I won't tell you exactly what I thought. It took me a few moments as I started to drive down that next street to remember that I had done exactly the same thing a couple of years ago when I was driving my car. Whatever I said to myself about that person's driving, I'd actually said about my own driving. Whenever we point the finger at someone else, we point three fingers at ourselves. Let me give you just one more example. No one likes being lied to. It's an abuse of trust, isn't it? But although we're angry when it's done to us, we still lied to others. Evil isn't just other people's problem. Evil's not just a label we should apply to murder or theft or abuse. People in our jails aren't the only guilty ones. Evil is our problem too. It doesn't matter whether we're more or less evil than our neighbour. The fact of the matter is we're all tarred with the same brush. We've all got the same problem, the same sickness. But if evil is a sickness, then House wouldn't be happy with just a general diagnosis. A good diagnosis pinpoints the problem. And Jesus is a good doctor. In line lines 37 to 40, he couldn't be any sharper. He went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Where does evil come from? From the heart. From the inner person. The problem's there in our thoughts, our attitudes, in our desires. Jesus had a gift for exposing the truth that we keep hidden. He even shows us things that we hide from ourselves. Listen again to his list. Out of men's hearts come evil thoughts. Thoughts that don't have other people's best interests at heart. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, which our society has redefined as a virtue. Malice, wanting bad for someone else. Deceit, lewdness, envy, which never follows far behind greed. Slander, arrogance. Perhaps if you think you're passing this list so far, then this is the one for you. And folly. What's inside is the problem. What's inside is the wellspring where all these evils originate. Imagine just for a moment that your thoughts were displayed on your forehead. You had one of those rolling signboards that you can get from Dick Smith. You go back to work, and Bob comes over to you and says, "G'day, how you doing?" And you say, "Oh, yeah, great. How about yourself?" And across your head rolls, "Oh, no, not you again." How long do you think it would take from leaving this theatre to getting back to work before your colleagues would conclude that you had a heart problem? I had something of a similar experience when I was 19. It didn't involve, say, a signboard from Dick Smith. It was more a product of using too many drugs over too many years and ending up thinking that my friends and I, one night at a party, could hear each other's thoughts. Fun for the first 5 seconds until I realised just some of the implications. Up until that point, I thought, well, there's probably a God, but I'm a good bloke and God's a good bloke, so we're okay. But that night, I realized that I had a heart problem. I realized that my thoughts and my motivations, I kept hidden from my friends, and I kept them hidden for a reason. That night, I thought that if they knew, then they'd be offended. In fact, I'd be appalled. I was appalled at the reality I faced myself. We fool ourselves into thinking that we're good people, that we keep some kind of moral code, that it doesn't solve the problem. At heart, we're still so self-seeking, so self-serving, that something more has to be done. In 1971, Professor Zimbardo at Stanford University chose 24 students to play the roles of prisoners and guards. He selected them from 100 candidates for their lack of psychological issues, their lack of criminal history, and assigned them randomly to either prisoner or guard by tossing a coin. Both prisoners and guards rapidly stepped into their role. They went beyond what was expected. One third of the guards displayed genuine sadistic tendencies. And many of the prisoners were traumatized. They had to stop the experiment after only 6 days. What Zimbardo saw in his lab has been played out time and again in human history. In 1994, hundreds of thousands of Rwandans were killed in mass genocide. Most of the murders were done by neighbors and fellow villagers. Mass murders in Cambodia, Russia, and Germany last century weren't unique events. The human heart is inclined to evil. We're not basically good at heart, we're basically dangerous. Jesus' diagnosis best explains the evidence. Line 37, for from within, out of men's hearts, that's where evil comes from. But what can be done? What can be done about this evil that lurks inside each of us? We're going to see Jesus' answer over the coming weeks, but if Jesus' diagnosis of the problem is that the problem is in our hearts, then his solution goes beyond basic surgery. He doesn't apply a new set of moral codes to live by. The solution is more like a heart transplant. Jesus takes our evil, broken hearts and gives us a new heart, his heart. He takes all our evil, all our theft, all our greed, all our malice, all our deceit, and he carries it. He deals with it, and he dies for it. What can be done? Well, the solution is beyond our power, but it's not beyond God. We're going to take a couple of minutes now for questions or comments. But before we do that, can I draw your attention to a couple of announcements on the back of your handout? The first is the Simply Christianity course. If you're interested in finding out more about Jesus and his diagnosis of our world, then the Simply Christianity course is a great course to follow up. It's one where you can read through one of the biographies of Jesus and really tackle these questions, engage with these tests, what you're hearing from me, for yourself. You'll see that next week that we're meeting on Thursday again, Thursday the 21st of May. Who can forgive sins will be the topic. And inside your handouts, you'll see a little comment card. If you would like to find out, if you'd like to express an interest in the Simply Christianity course, then just pop this card, put some of your details on it, and pop this card by the door on your way out in the box. It'll be there. If you're a Christian and new to City Bible Forum, you want to find out more about who we are and what we do, then you can also do that, indicate that on this form. We've got a couple of minutes now. We've got a couple of minutes left for any questions that people might like to ask.
Where does, well, so what role does our environment and the devil have to play?
Yeah, so, I was saying that evil doesn't come from outside. It's not what, you can't ingest evil. The problem's actually inside us. But the Bible and even our court system, the Bible kind of agrees with our court system in that it recognises mitigating circumstances. So we're agents who make choices, and those choices are influenced by external factors like our culture or being placed as a guard rather than a prisoner in the Zimbardo experiment. But we still make choices that our inner thoughts and motivations and desires influence. And that's where Jesus was really pointing us to. If you put a good man in a bad situation, then you get what Jesus did. You get love in response. If you put a heart that's inclined to evil in a bad situation, then you get what you see in the world. You get what all of us do. Okay, well, it's great to have you all here, particularly on a Wednesday. Good on you for coming along. If you have any questions that you didn't want to ask out loud, then you can pop them on those cards and leave them by the door. See you next Thursday.